Welcome to the Christopher Scott Show. Happy Easter. Easter podcast. Pretty strange event, really, for the Christopher Scott Show. Not so much to have a podcast on a Sunday, although we don't do that a lot. We've been doing 7 days a week. What has it been? Has it been 3 weeks? I haven't even really looked. I haven't cared. We've been doing so much recording and broadcasting lately between the videos, the radio show, Project Chaos, and the Christopher Scott Show. I spend a lot of time behind the microphone these days. I guess that's a good thing. Feel like it is. I enjoy it. I can tell you that. My daughter, she's been doing more and more recording as well. But anyway, it's Easter. Let me stay on point. I don't want to take up too much time. I don't want to be babbling today. Happy Easter, as I said. And I don't want to get too religious today, too spiritual necessarily. I'll leave that up to you and your spiritual advisor. But I would just say this broadly. I think that Easter is supposed to be a time of a renewal, of cleansing, I guess you could say. How would you describe it? Somewhere along those terms, wouldn't you say? But anyway, I saw this video of Trump recently coming out and saying that he thinks we need to, you know, bring back Bibles. People need to read their Bible more. And it turns out that he's selling, I think for $150, a leather-bound King James Bible that also has our United States Constitution and I guess some other documents in it. I don't know if he signed it or what have you. And so he's you know, goes out and he says, we need more Bibles. And at the same time, he's selling these $150 Bibles. And I say to myself, what do you think of that in itself? Do you think that's disingenuous of him? Perhaps, but I don't have a problem with him raising money for his campaign by selling Bibles. One bit, actually. You know, you look, I just went on in New York City, and I'm like, you compare the two, how the campaigns are run, and I mean, that really tells you everything you need to know right there. The people buying the $150 Bibles are not the same people that gave the $25 million in New York City. Do you understand that? Who do you want running the country? Who do you want making these decisions? I don't know. But then I saw this segment on The View. The View. I know, I can't believe I'm talking about The View at all, let alone Easter. I don't watch The View, trust me. But I saw this clip that was going around, and whoever it was, she said that it was blasphemous of Trump to be saying this about people need to read their Bibles more. And I thought, you know, I don't mean to be overly righteous. I'm certainly not in any position to be pointing any fingers at any moral compass, shall we say. But for The View to be saying anything about blasphemy, isn't that a little bit like the pot calling the kettle black? And I'm sure that's going to be racist in some circle over there. I don't know. They contort everything and make these little arguments about stupid stuff. Wouldn't you think that on Easter, if there wasn't one thing we could agree on to say, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if whatever those cackling hens on The View are, if they came out and said, well, praise God, at least there's one thing we could agree on. I think the world would rejoice. It probably wouldn't make the news. Probably wouldn't make the news. I don't know. Somebody would be making fun of it. I don't know. Never once when it's Trump. And I noticed this pattern. I don't really ever see liberals ever agreeing that any conservative, like, well, okay, at least we can agree on one thing. Yep. Nothing we agree on. Complete polar opposites, right? You know, even the gun law, all of it, the gun law. So, and part of the problem is that the liberal party has been hijacked by these whack job progressives. Yeah, I could give you any one of these issues, and it's the progressives largely, not on every issue, but on many of the issues. But with Trump, they never agree with him. Never once will the media just, okay, or just remain silent. They have to say anything. Never one good thing has he done ever. He could do anything. He never agreed that it was a good thing. Always twist it and make it like, he's talking about reading Bibles. The audacity. That crazed lunatic. They should lock him up, probably. This is the way they think. Nuts. But is all that fair? Is it reasonable? Is it accurate? What are they hiding? Why are these smoke and mirrors about this stuff all the time? And why do they hate him so much and can't even explain why in simple terms? That's what I would like to know. A simple explanation of why that this hatred for Trump, that they put him in the same category as Hitler, despite that he did nothing but create incredible peace for 4 years. No comparison at all. I don't know. I know it's Sunday. I know that right now our country needs healing, not arguments. And we need healing badly. You can see it all over. And this economy is starting to take a toll. I heard from my brother out in Illinois. I got to get into this story a little bit more. Auto plant shut down. Sounds like it's going to hurt the town pretty badly. You know, you watch this happen when a town has a population that revolves around employment at one large business and they fold up or close up, and it's a real disaster. And, you know, you want to talk about all the opportunities for joint government, private industry type redevelopment. And these stories are largely left to go on where there's no political gain, where there's no big money to be made. Nobody cares about the little guy and they just let this stuff go. But in many ways, our country needs healing badly, and our country needs to come together badly. And one thing we should be able to come together on is the doggone Bible. But somehow that becomes an argument too, pretty bad. Wouldn't you agree that we would benefit by more biblical wisdom in our world today? Not my version of it, your version of it. I don't want to get into a biblical debate. Basic biblical wisdom. Now, you know, even that gets skewed, contorted, and argued about, sometimes pretty passionately, starts wars in itself. No doubt. It's better than the alternative. The absence of God is pure torture. Pure torture. You go into these communities, you go down, right down, you've seen it now, it's been made public. I've been talking about it for years, Kensington, Philadelphia. And it started with heroin. And, you know, it was the bar scene. That's what it was. And then it came the heroin. It was a speed back in the day. There's always drugs down there. But then the heroin came. And the heroin just took around. Then what was it? The fentanyl. And now it's this trope or something. I mean, it just keeps getting nuttier and nuttier with the drugs coming in. But my point is, just to stay on topic, that, you know, our country is hurting vast areas. And it's not just there, all of North Philadelphia, all of West Philadelphia. And it's not just there. You go out to the Pocono region. There's like this pretty big swath of suburbia, the 5-county area around Pennsylvania. And life is just grand down here. It's not a good representation. Our country, we need prayer. We need the Bible badly. You go in these places where there's no God and you look at what replaces it. And it's very destructive. Those people are suffering down there. And it's part of what bothers me. And nobody cares because it's they did it on their own accord, right? Sua sponte. You know, that's the libertarian values for you. And, you know, I kind of agree, but I don't. And I certainly don't when it comes to public spaces. You know, I think that you do have to give people, for the most part, freedom on their own property. So if you can make trope, and you know, if you can make bleach on your own property and you want to drink it there, I don't know what we're going to do to stop that. But as far as, you know, buying certain things and selling it and doing it in public places, I think we have every obligation to make sure our communities are kept on track. We can't afford to allow this to happen. It's a value system or not. This is where the practicality of the Bible becomes important. Everybody's strung out on trope. Basic things aren't being done, and you see it. You go into some of these countries where you see the absence of God, and look at what you see. Depressed people, misery. You see God, and even where people are poor, guess what? They're usually smiling. Observe that yourself. There's a joy in work. There's a joy in suffering. If you understand why and there's a purpose behind it, then it's good. And you understand that good always prevails. But why would it be? Why would it be that a spiritual community would be so much healthier necessarily? Well, one, spiritual health is important, right? And I don't think that there's any sector of the world that doesn't agree on that, except for a few. But I think the other issue is that there's a grounding and a sense of community. And I've been talking about how we've lost this. I'm not preaching here. I'm not a preacher. I'm as bad as anybody listening to this. The divorces, for one thing. You know, it's in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the damage that's done by divorce. And I don't want to get on a harping thing. As I said, I'm multiple marriages myself. And I look back and I say, wow, you know, what could we, should we have done differently? Quite a few things, I think. But where you have this spiritual grounding, you have church communities, biblical communities, you have strong families and a strong sense of community. And it's very powerful and it's very enlightening. And in most cases, I think it's very freedom giving. Now, not that there's not problems in the religious communities, by the way, alcoholism and deviancy of different kinds. It's not, they're not immune from it, not at all. They always say it's how things get handled that's most important. But anyway, let's not go down that path. But we don't live spiritual lives in this country much at all. You know, Trump's point about bringing back the Bible, it used to be that there was a church on every corner almost. There was a steeple everywhere in this country. It was a very spiritual country. We don't have that anymore. Let alone now it's gotten to the point where there's these attacks on Christian piety. What do I mean by that? You kneel to pray in a public place, some kind of loony doing that. What's so strange about it? But look at the results of all this shift, and there's been lots of shifts. Has it been good or bad? I don't know. Anyway, some of it's been good, some of it's been bad, you could say it, to be fair. But we need strong communities, wouldn't you agree? And we need a template for how to do it. You know, what's the roadmap for that? There's got to be some kind of an agreement on that. A roadmap for our collective conscience, don't you think? And probably most importantly right now, we need to understand how to forgive and to heal. And believe me, when I tell you, I'm not preaching on that one. That is not my area of expertise. I'm more the retaliation and retribution guy. And that's why I still read my Bible as well. I understand the destructive nature of it. And you need to understand that all this is a process, not an event. We don't go, oh, well, I prayed to God and nothing happened. On your time and your terms, you understand how life begins to work. I think as we age, our perspective on all this changes, right? I step back and I look, and my whole perspective of the world and humanity is grossly different than when I was growing up, that's for sure, even just a few years ago. But, you know, as much as it's easy to get angry at the type of people that watch The View or agree with The View or the ladies on The View, I think it's an indication that God is still in control. That rebellion that we see going on there, I think is an indication that God is in control. That's why they're rebelling. And naturally, there's going to be some people that rebel until that they can see properly. You know, and that's why I say I don't think that to come on out publicly and berating Trump for selling Bibles is a good idea. You could certainly be skeptical of his motives and his spiritual connectedness. But it's not blasphemous to talk about Bibles or to sell a Bible for that matter. How about if I did a Bible reading? Would anybody be interested in that? Oof, I'm seriously not likely to commit to that. We would need like a seriously high response to that comment for me to consider that. But anyway, I think it was a brave move by Trump. Was he doing it to sell Bibles? Maybe he was. I don't know. You know, but like I said, if that's how he's going to fund his campaign, you know, I thought about the same thing when I was thinking about running for office. How do you generate money for the campaign? I'm big on creating win-wins. Yeah, selling books is a great idea, often done. Hey, I got this new book. I'm going to have this book signing. get people to come out. Hey, here's what I'm talking about. What would my book be about? Restoring the Second Amendment, restoring fiscal responsibility, the value of our money, restoring the First Amendment, restoring the Fourth Amendment, getting rid of the Ninth Amendment completely. All these, those five basic things. Get rid of the 19th Amendment. You know, at this point, I don't know what you do as far as an income tax. You could take it out of the Constitution or just amend it to say no more than 10%. No more than 10% of the gross receipts can go to the government. We're paying half of all of our money to the government. Let this settle in. You think Bibles are bad? How bad is it that all of our nation's wealth is just being squandered away? That's biblical in itself. It really is. We definitely need biblical wisdom. I'm not going to get political. It's Sunday, it's Easter. Go read your Bible. Enjoy a dinner with your family. We have a fantastic dinner planned with some great friends, and I'm looking forward to it. When I come back tomorrow, Monday, I'll tell you about the book signing event last night. It was extraordinary. Let me tell you, extraordinary. Really fascinating. Anyway, happy Easter, and I look forward to seeing you back tomorrow. Make it a great day.